This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
We received a call from someone who's banned on the show currently.
Omar called.
I'm on the ship, Omar. I'm on the ship.
And said, I know I'm not allowed on the show.
Here comes my New York Knicks food.
If the Knicks win tonight, can we call him tomorrow?
What did he say there?
This is DCR.
Monica. It's not an easy name to say, by the way.
No, it's very easy.
It's Try easy
it.
To say.
Try it.
Monica.
Yes!
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, people. It is game day. Knicks and Hawks, game two. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And you get all these emotions again. How nice, Rick, would it be if the Knicks just go out there tonight? From beginning, they take the lead. It's a comfortable game. You don't have to sweat it. There's no stress. A nice, stress-free game two win for the Knicks tonight.
Oh, it'd be great.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think we all agree that's not going to happen. But
no chance
awesome.
That happens. None.
Yeah, it would be great.
None.
No, it's going to be closely contested is what's going to happen. I mean, I just hope that early on in that game, like with them getting off to a great start and all of a sudden it's, you know, they lead the entire game and it feels comfortable. Yeah, that would be awesome. Not going to happen. My biggest thing is I want to see Julius Randle come out early, aggressive, clearly something on his mind, and he gets off to a good start and just carries that throughout the game.
But you believe in him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it all year. When he struggles, the following game he comes out and you see almost a different level of I don't think it's intensity because I think he was clearly fired up for game one and maybe too fired up for game one, and that got the best of him.
Mm.
But like he has a mindset going to these games when he, you know, comes off a bad one where he's hell bent on getting off to a good start. I mean, it'd be nice for RJ to get off to a good start too. I mean, he's kind of getting this, like, he's starting this pattern where he gets off to slow starts and then picks it up in the second half. It would be nice if he got off to a quick start too.
Yeah, you don't want a 16-point first quarter.
No.
Like, you want to find a way to be able to be better. And I think that's everybody in that starting unit. Reggie Bullock, you can make that same case for. I mean, he's got to be a bigger factor in terms of what they're going to do on the offensive end, if for no other reason, just to make Trae Young do a little more work on the defensive side of things. But offensively, I think the Knicks will find a way to bounce back. I think the biggest question in game two is, how do you slow down Trae Young and that Hawks offense? And I think if you're Tibbs, you got to do everything that it takes to keep that dude out of the paint. Because when he gets in the paint, he has the ability to be able to finish with the floater, but he also has the ability to be able to kick it out to open shooters. And that's the thing that you can't afford to happen for the Atlanta Hawks to get all those other guys involved offensively. Like, if it's just Trae Young, okay, because you recognize he's so good, he's going to get his points. But it's about limiting the opportunities for the other guys. That's not something that the Knicks did well in game one. They've got to do a better job of that in game two.
Guess who Julius Randle got advice from heading into game two?
Bill de Blasio.
Yes. Bill told him how to handle himself in game two. No. Close, though. Shaquille O'Neal. He got advice from Shaq. Here is the advice he got heading into game two from Shaq.
Julius, Shaq here. I don't have any questions. One, congratulations. Two, as the president of the Big Man Alliance, right, just want to say slow down tomorrow, baby. Take your time. You put New York on the map already. You've been there. Take your time. Me and Charles still, you was rushing. We know your passion. We know you wanted it. Take it easy, brother. Yeah, take it easy. Yeah. And let the game come to you. That's all I got to say, bro.
You already know, man. That adrenaline was going. I was hyped, so got that game on our belt, man. I'll be excited. We'll be ready to go tomorrow.
I mean, it really is as simple as that, right? I mean, it's, and people don't, I don't think, put enough, you know, emphasis or give enough credit or credence to, you know, that being the case. And how, like, we talk about Eli Manning all the time, right? Like, yeah, regular season Eli Manning was, he's good.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, biggest moment, like, he's great because he has the ability to do what Julius Randle couldn't do in game one.
Yep.
Which was slow things down. Because when your adrenaline's going the way it's going and you're in a packed building, like, things start speeding up. That's real. And can you kind of, you know, take that deep breath and slow things back down? And unfortunately, Julius Randle wasn't able to do that in game one.
And remember, they didn't play in front of any kind of a crowd like that the entire season.
No, and he had a whole week off, too. I mean, just thinking about it, every single, like.
That's a lot of time to think about.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time to think about it. And having never played in a playoff game before, like, you could understand how he could get in his own head and not have his best performance in game one. But because he got a taste of it on Sunday night, like, I just feel like we're going to see a much different version of Julius Randle. I got to be honest with you guys. I'm not worried about Julius Randle. I'm really not. I'm not. I'm more worried about this team, you know, defensively staying connected and being able to slow down Trae Young, because that's a problem. Like, Trae Young is a legitimate young point guard. Like, he's going to be a perennial all-star. Like, he is going to be hell to deal with for this series. And you got to find a way to be able to limit him in terms of his overall impact on his team's success. Because Trae Young is going to get his points. Like, if Trae Young is going to score 25 to 30 points, like, you just have to go ahead and pencil that in. But I think the difference comes with whether or not he's going to have the ability to get the other guys involved.
Let's go to AZ in Dick Sales. Good morning, AZ.
Good morning. How are you guys? And I said that on purpose, Dave, because I know it bothers you.
Very well played.
But
you're very clever.
I said it because I missed the opening of the show, and I truly don't know how you're doing. So a little caveat there. But
all right. Well, you know what? It's a fair question then. I'm going to treat this with respect, and I'm going to tell you. I'm very anxious. I feel very overwhelmed when we have sports nights like this. I mean, you get the Islanders at 6:30. Right, you got the Mets, you got the Yankees, you got the Knicks. I'm gonna be doing a lot of flipping. I'm gonna have multiple TVs running, so I'm not gonna sleep a lot tonight. So I'm anxious, I'm nervous, I'm excited, but it's good to feel alive when it comes to sports. That's how I'm doing. So thank you for asking.
That sounds amazing. Over, we're gonna watch all those games together. But anyway, I wanted to talk about how to slow down Trae Young. I think he's going to get his buckets, but what we really have to do is get him in the pick and roll and make him work on defense. I was at the game the other night, and a couple of times R.J. Barrett had him down in the post, and he literally abused him. And I think we need to go to more of that, maybe possibly get him in some foul trouble and make him work on defense. Because he definitely is going to get his points. He's very talented, so it's going to be difficult to shut him out, but got to make him work on the defensive side of things. And real quick, I think Omar's getting a tough shake here. I love listening to your show, and when he calls in, I perk up, and I love listening to his calls.
Yeah, but it's his own fault.
AZ,
time out. That's the issue. You love hearing him on the show. We love hearing him on the show. But when he doesn't call in, so we can't hear him on the show.
And then he calls it to other shows.
Exactly right. We're worried about him. What's going on with Omar? And then you turn on I'm listening to the K show, and all of a sudden Omar pops up on the K show.
Right. Give me a break.
It's not fair. It's not right.
It's not fair to us. It's not fair to our listeners. The thing with Trae Young, too, I actually wouldn't even mind, too, you hunt him out on defense, too.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Hunt him out. Make it.
Find him.
And if you're going to foul him, too, make it worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get physical. He's not a big guy. Like, try to wear him down a little bit.
No, and he's slight.
He's slight. And then, in all honesty, though, through the first three quarters, I thought they did a pretty good job against Trae Young defensively.
Mm.
They did.
And then that fourth quarter is when, kind of all hell broke loose a little bit. He's all of a sudden going to the free throw line and everything else. But he's a good player. And that's, again, this is why Tibbs is known to be who he is that he's able
their
to...
Their best player was great. Our best player was not.
Yeah, but Alec Burks was damn good.
He really was. He was sensational. I don't know if you're going to see that again. And that's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. ECR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to John Carr. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to get thoughts on maybe getting D. Rose on the starting lineup.
I think it's a possibility. If you listen to Tibbs, we played the sound earlier in the show. He kind of opened the door for that to happen. Where Alfred Payton may not end up being in the starting lineup tonight.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, man. I mean, if Alfred Payton's only going to play the first 4 minutes of the game, what are you doing? Like, you might as well put Derrick Rose in the starting lineup. Like, I get that you want to limit his minutes, and you got to find places in the game to get him a break, to spell him, because we all know that he's not going to play more than 35 minutes in any given game. Like, that just gets to a dangerous point for him. But, I mean, if you're only going to have the starting point guard in the game for 4 minutes before you bring Derrick Rose off the bench, then you might as well start him.
How many minutes do you think you can play Derrick Rose for? Realistically, knowing you have a game on Friday,
I think max 35 minutes, Dave. Max.
So you're gonna, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you can play Alec Burks at the point.
Yeah, you can. See, I would start Burks. That would be my. Rose has been so good in that role all year long. I don't want to mess with it.
Those would be the two options for me. I think I probably agree with you as far as keeping Rose where he's at. It's only a couple minutes too. I mean, game one it was 4 minutes, and then he's in the game. Or maybe you go Frank and let him really, really go after Trae Young in those first couple minutes of the game.
Would be great. Garden's going to be so fanatical tonight. Alexander in Westchester. Good morning, Alex.
Merry Christmas, guys. Thank you for letting me on. I've been a big fan for a while, and I haven't had the opportunity to call in when you guys switched the time. Just want to let you guys know, my father and his mother had the thermometer situation, and I sat them down together and made them listen to that podcast, and it was the most funny, uncomfortable thing I've ever been a part of my life. So
I am thermometer boy right now.
Yeah, and also, Dave, can you please put the Russian dressing story on YouTube soon, because I need to share that with people, too. I can't remember how it ends, so I can hear that.
That's too fun for Dave's podcast. That story's too fun for Dave's podcast. Yeah.
And welcome aboard. I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg on Talk. Our maiden voyage.
I'm welcoming people. I'm like a Mayor D. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. Welcome aboard. That's right.
Welcome aboard. You'll be asleep in 10 minutes.
Did you?
And welcome aboard. I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg on Talk. Our maiden voyage.
Did you watch The Love Boat as a kid?
Okay. Yeah. No. I mean, that wasn't one of my go-tos.
I love that show.
Is that why we incorporated Welcome Aboard?
No, I always wanted to go on a cruise, and exciting then I went on a cruise, and I was like, no, I didn't like it at all.
No interest on cruises. No interest.
But they made it seem like so much fun on The Love Boat, and then we went on a cruise. I was like, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Gilligan and the skipper, and they make it look fun being deserted on an island. That's not.
No, it never seemed like it was all that much fun.
Well, what do you mean? You deserted on an island. You got a professor to take care of that stuff, and you got two smoking hot women on the island.
Were you a ginger or Marianne guy?
I was a ginger guy.
He's got every theme song ready to go. This, we could say something brilliant, and he would turn it around tomorrow. But if we mention a TV show, he's got it before.
Yeah, we can't get the music updated show by show, but we have every theme song.
Every theme song. Who did you say you're a fan of?
I was a ginger guy.
Ginger, yeah, so was I.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna take a couple minutes off the show now thinking about ginger.
It's unanimous.
You're a ginger guy also?
I'm a ginger guy as well,
yeah.
Dave.
Yeah. But I have been lurking. I bet you that if you asked most people, they were Marianne guys.
Really?
I think so. Online lurking, there's nothing wrong with it.
See, I think you would marry. I mean, you're probably going to marry Marianne.
See, I think I'd be overwhelmed with Ginger.
You couldn't handle Ginger. Ginger looks no, like
but
way
in a
more
good
fun.
Way, Dave. You'd be overwhelmed in a good way.
I had a horrendous moment happen about, it's probably 15 years ago.
Someone walked in on you?
No. I was at the dinner for my birthday, and at the very next table, Ginger.
Stop it.
And she is not Ginger anymore.
Well, what did you expect?
Well, I'm just saying.
Of course, she's not ginger anymore.
But I wish that I had never encountered her to change my view. I had this sultry, woman in the dress, Ginger, the movie star, the starlet, and she is just not that person anymore.
Yeah, so I don't think that would ruin it for me. I would still just go back. All you got to do is turn on one episode, you go right back.
You're right back?
Right back to the Ginger. You got to remember Ginger at her best.
I don't know.
On the island.
She's shoving broccoli
into
her
face. I'll tell you what. If I was on that island with Ginger, it could get real. I mean, may end up with multiple kids on the island. Like, it could get ugly.
Physical style of play, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. gentlemen every night they could get.
Multiple kids.
Multiple kids on the island.
Did they ever get off the island?
Wait, but you're asking me questions.
I have no idea.
I don't think they did. I think the show just ended. I think the show just ended. All right. Quick break. Let's chew on that for a minute. 800-919-3776. Who's coming our way at 7 o'clock, Rick?
We have Monica McNutt.
There you go, Rico.
Very well done.
There you go.
Did you hear the amount of effort it took him, Chris, to get that right, though?
There was a lot of concentration. I mean, a lot of focus there, Dave.
Very well done, but it's not an easy name to say.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Round third and get ready for game two of the Knicks and the Hawks tonight. 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 tip-off at the Garden. You can hear the game right here on 98.7 ESPN. Monica McNutt, there you go, I got it right, will join us at 7 o'clock from MSG. Let's take a listen to Julius Randle. He kind of addressed the media a little bit. What did it feel like when the team came down for game one at the Garden?
And it was rocking from the beginning, man. As soon as we pulled up to the arena, they was outside, they were cheering, our pregame warm-ups, everything. Like, the energy was crazy. Like, you know, Shaq said slow down. Like, it was hard, man, because, you know, your adrenaline was going so crazy, man. That second half, by the time that second half came, I was done. Like, my energy was crashed. So, it was fun, man. I had an amazing time. Even though we lost, man, it was a learning experience. And just to know that we had the energy of the city, the support of the city, and they're cheering us on like that was amazing. So, we'll be sure to be ready for the next one. But to answer your question, it was a lot, man. It was fun.
Chris, do you think going from basically no fans for so long to that scene negatively impacted the Knicks?
Yeah, because I think they were a little too juiced up, Dave, and that can happen. I mean, Rick talks about, you know, slowing the game down for you once you get into the postseason in order to perform at your best. And sometimes when you don't have that playoff experience, You can start getting ahead of yourself, and it felt like that with Julius Randle and watching him play. Like, you know, he wasn't making the right basketball plays, and that's something that he did a really good job of all season long. Like picking and choosing his spots when he wanted to be aggressive offensively, when he had the matchups that he was looking for versus when he was facing double teams, being able to get the ball to the open guy. Like, I mean, the Knicks and Julius Randle have been really good about that, and you just didn't see that in game one. And you got to think the crowd being the way that it was, 15,000 fans back in the Garden, and then it being his first foray into the playoffs, like all of those things led to him not playing his best game.
Yeah, I think it was a perfect storm. I mean, and there's sometimes you just want it too much. Like, he spent the entire week going through. I mean, he's a guy who likes to put in extra work. I mean, it's just not just physical work, but mental reps and everything else. By the time you get out there, you see this place, 15,000, you know, chanting MVP every time you get the ball and everything else. And I mean, it's a lot to deal with.
It's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot. I'm going to put you on the spot. This is okay. A good question. It might not be fair, but I think it's a good question. Would you prefer the Islanders to win tonight or the Knicks to win tonight?
I got to go Islanders because the series is over if they win.
So, but the series is over.
The series is over if the Knicks lose.
If Knicks go down 0-2 on the road.
No, but literally. Literally, the series is over if the Islanders.
And literally, the Knicks are on the verge of being done if they lose this game.
Verge and over are two different things.
But the Islanders could still win a game seven.
It doesn't matter. The Knicks could still win games 3 and 4.
But the Islanders have a better chance of winning game seven
doesn't matter.
Than the Knicks do of winning three.
By definition, Islanders win tonight, series is over.
Yes.
Knicks lose tonight, series is not over.
Yeah, Dave, I'm with you. I don't like Rick's logic. I think you got to
make sense.
You got to go for the Knicks.
No, I don't think it does.
You got to go for the Knicks. You got to go for the Knicks.
Because it makes perfect sense. No, that's why you don't like it.
You got to go for the Knicks. I still give the Islanders a great chance to win a game seven. If the Knicks lose tonight, this is totally done. It's done.
You don't know what's going to happen in a game seven.
I understand, but I like
Pittsburgh.
The Islanders' chances better to win a game seven.
Oh, my God. This is the worst take. This is the worst take you've ever had in the history of the show.
No, it's not.
No way.
Ever.
No, no way.
Ever. You guys are both embarrassing yourself.
You're so on an island.
Right now.
No,
you're embarrassing yourself right now.
You're so on an island right now, and you're
embarrassing
yourself.
Embarrassing yourself right now.
It's amazing to me that you can be the one of three to have this take, and you act like you're the victim. You're so wrong on this right now.
I'm so right. I've never been more right. Your take is asinine. Asinine take.
You know what's embarrassing
and
enough?
Santi will agree with
you.
Wrong. And RJ,
now you got to come out swinging. Now you got to come out on the defensive as if you're right here. You're wrong. You're wrong.
I know I'm right.
All right, RJ.
There's one answer to the question.
RJ, let me ask you: if this was the Sabres and the Sabres were the Islanders right now, would you go Sabres win this game, or would you go Knicks win this game?
See, that's tough because you're picking between two teams that don't make the playoffs ever. I'd probably have to say the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And go after him now.
Because I would have faith that the Islanders could win a Game 7.
See?
Why would you even deal with a Game 7, though? You can close the series out at home.
I get what you're saying.
It's a definitive, you're going to the second round of the playoffs.
But if the Knicks lose tonight, it's probably a definitive that there is no Game 7.
But it's not, though. It's probably a definitive, but it's not. There's one definitive, and there's one that's a probably.
But I can't believe you're so angry about this and have such conviction in this asinine take that you have. Everyone, Ray, let me ask
you. The Knicks could win game two and still lose the series.
Oh, my God. Ray, let me turn to you. Where would you go here?
First of all, I don't appreciate being looped in with, and my answer is assumed here. I mean, obviously, I'm rooting for the Knicks in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders, you're scared about going to a game seven. You said Sorokin's got to have all the stars yesterday. If you believe in Sorokin, you go to game seven.
Well, I don't know about Sorokin, but I mean, I like his work. But Sorokin, I'll take. He had 48 saves. I don't think he's going to repeat that. You have a chance to close the series out. Definitively, you're going to round two.
As has already been stated, I feel better about the Islanders' chances of winning. If they
now you're 4-1. Now everybody on the show disagrees with you.
I would want to know the percentage on that, like the chances of winning a Game 7 versus the chances of being able to come back after being down 0-2 in a series.
Chris, I guarantee you the Islanders have a better chance to win a Game 7 than the Knicks would have to come back from down 2-0.
100%, Dave. 100%. But I know you're a big percentage guy. I'd like to have facts to support my stance, my position. But I got to believe, like, the Islanders have a better chance of winning a Game 7 against the Penguins than the Knicks do being able to come back from 0-2 to the Hawks, especially now that their series is going to shift down to Atlanta.
Rick, what would you honestly say?
I can't even take your opinion seriously because you don't watch the Islanders. And the fact is, you have all this faith in the Islanders. They shouldn't have won the last game. They've been outplayed in the series. So to think it's a foregone conclusion, you go to Game 7 in Pittsburgh.
Nobody thinks it's a foregone conclusion.
But that's how you're acting. It's not a foregone conclusion.
We're saying you have a better chance of being able to win that game versus what happens with the Knicks.
Who's the higher seed in the series?
Going out to the Hawks.
Does the hot goalie give you the
Pittsburgh
edge?
Jerry's played good, too.
He's great with the puck.
He's great with the
puck. He made a bad play, but he's been good. I mean, he's played good, too.
Oh, my God. You guys are – this is unbelievable.
And it's everybody.
I'm going to have to be off the show. I can't do this.
Everybody on the show.
It's everybody. I mean, you're a man that's on an island, yet you believe that you're right here.
Pittsburgh is the higher seed in the series.
So what?
They've been the better team. It's not a foregone. Oh, we're just going to Game 7. And rather than close it out tonight.
We're not saying foregone conclusion.
Let's have the Knicks just make it 1-1.
Better chance.
And let's just roll the dice in Game 7 in Pittsburgh.
We're not saying foregone conclusion.
Against Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin.
Islanders Game 7 winner take all has a better shot in the Islanders' favor than the Knicks being down 0-2 and going down to Atlanta. You know this is true.
I'm in crazy town.
You're not in crazy town.
I'm in crazy town.
You know what's amazing? You're so wrong, yet you're defending it to the hilt.
You don't want to go to Game 7 for a couple
of
reasons.
Of course you don't want to go to Game 7.
And Boston's already won. You don't want to have to play a Game 7. Close it out tonight.
Oh, my God. I'm not saying you'd want to play a Game 7. I'd say I like the Islanders' chance. Let me ask you the serious question.
I don't want to answer the question.
You like the Islanders' chances better in a Game 7 or the Knicks' chances better down 0-2?
Probably about the same.
You just don't want to be honest with yourself. That's what it is. Let's change up here. Let's go to Rob in Astoria. Rob's got answers for us. Good morning. Hello? Oh, no. Well, he's not there. Robbie, there?
Yes, right here, buddy.
Okay, go ahead. This will be your time to shine.
So Gilligan's Island. So the final episode of Gilligan's Island was the rescue episode. There was a big storm coming to the island. The old got washed off. When they all woke up, they were floating on a house raft. And then they all got rescued, got famous. And then they're all miserable doing their normal thing, which is like being professor and the other Mr. Harold and Levy were miserable being rich. And so
Yeah, miserable being rich.
And everybody got together with a reunion, and then they got stranded on the same island again.
I actually think that they made a movie that happened. I don't think that was the final episode of Gilligan's Island. No.
And then once she got back, she partied way too hard.
You saw the photo?
Oh, she's not.
I tried to tell you. I had dinner next to her one night, and it was a traumatic experience.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Dump Rothenberg is minutes away, 800-919-3776. Rick, it feels like you're in a very bad way right now.
No, I'm not in a bad way. I mean, I think your opinion's stupid, and I think your answer was stupid.
Why are you so aggressive and angry?
Well, because you're not putting yourself in my shoes when you make your decision. Because you're not an Islander fan. The Islanders, the Islanders aren't your favorite team.
The
Rangers aren't your favorite team. If it was the Giants, you'd have a different answer.
Well, that's different.
Oh, well, exactly right. The Islanders are my favorite team. So if I told you, same situation, it's the Giants, replace Rangers with Giants, if they win Week 16, or now Week 17, win.
That's different.
No, it's not different. It's the same exact thing.
But you're not close with it. All right,
it's the exact same thing.
So you're choosing the Islanders solely because you love them more. If it was even playing field, who would you choose?
It's not even playing field. That wasn't the question. So you answer the questions. Giants can clinch the division in Week 17 as opposed to play on the road in Week 18. Who are you taking?
What do you mean against what? What's the other side of it? The Knicks?
The exact same situation. Yeah, Knicks win tonight.
I would choose the Giants.
Okay, so there you go. There's your answer.
But that's different.
What, you don't trust the Giants to win Week 18 on the road?
Yeah, but I would.
You don't trust them?
I would choose the Giants 50 times over. I would choose the Knicks.
I wouldn't pick the Islanders. I played for the Islanders,
so
I wouldn't pick the Islanders every single time.
Yeah, but you still have a game to fall back on. The game 7.
So do you? You got Week 18 to fall back on.
Nah, I'm not doing that.
Well, exactly. I'm not doing it either.
No, you should.
I get a chance to knock the number one seed out. I'm knocking them out, especially because I got to go on the road.
It's a bad take by you.
You just had the exact same take, dummy.
That's different.
How is that? Because it's the exact same question.
I would take the Giants winning one championship over the Knicks winning four.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Who would I rather have win a championship, Dave? The Islanders or the Knicks?
The Islanders.
So it's the exact same question.
It's not the same
thing.
Your Islanders-Knicks is closer than my Giants anybody.
I just asked you the same. I played for the Islanders.
Yeah,
did you play for the Giants?
So now you're going to tell me you love the Islanders more than I love the Giants?
I mean, yeah, I love the Islanders more than
you. Now you love the Giants. Yourself. Just stop it. Really.
You answer the question the same exact way.
Shut up. You knew it was good for you, buddy.
Really, give me a break. This is nonsense. All right, let's go to
you just embarrassed yourself again.
No, you did.
You
love
answered
the Islanders more than I love the Giants.
I posed
stop
the exact same question, and you answered it exactly how I answered it.
I'm a baby.
Everyone
you're
in this room is now dumber for having.
So you don't care about the Knicks. Is what you're saying.
I love that. You don't care about the Knicks then, if you pick the Giants.
Not compared to the Giants, no.
Okay, so what are we talking about then? It's the same. You answer the question exactly how I answer.
I want to get some calls.
No, don't try to deflect now. You're trying to do what I do.
I'm not trying to do what you do. So you admit, and by the way, you admit to your deflection. I was actually going to get to some calls that agree with you, but forget it. I don't need to.
No, you'll screw the calls up anyway. You'll make
it awkward. How would I screw them up? They'd say, hey guys, how you doing? And you'll just sit there like staring at the screen. Dave on the turnpike.
I would love
Dave.
To fight you right now.
I'll have to shave your mustache.
Morning,
right
guys.
Off. Go ahead, Dave.
Rick, you are 1,000% right. You
yes.
took the guaranteed series win. How could you not take the guaranteed series win? The Knicks could score the next five. It's not likely.
Oh, come on. Dave, let me just ask you a simple question. Is there a better chance the Islanders win a game over. 7? Oh, my God. Hang on. Is there a better chance the Islanders win a game 7 or the Knicks win 4 out of 5 games against the Hawks?
Absolutely, it's the Islanders game 7, but don't take that chance. Don't take the chance.
Dave, let me ask you a question.
Win 3 of the next 5.
Dave, what are the percentages of the Islanders winning the series if they win game 6?
100%.
Okay, I'll take those. I'll take those odds.
All right, there you go.
Exactly. I like that percentage.
There you go. Now you got your little lackeys calling and agreeing with you.
Well, no, you agree with me.
I don't agree with you.
Well, I posed the exact same question with your favorite team, and you picked the Giants.
That's different.
How is it's the same thing? You put my favorite team up against one of my favorite teams and told me I could choose. I made the choice. I did the same thing with you, and you chose the Giants.
That's
you
different.
Didn't choose the Knicks.
It's not apples to apples.
It's apples to apples. That's the definition of apples to apples.
No, it's not apples
it
to
is.
Apples. It is. Let's go to Joe in Babylon. Good morning, Joe. Everyone on the show agreed with me. Everyone on the show is 4-1 against you.
Because they're not Islander fans.
But I gave RJ the Sabres, and he did
just
the same
told
thing.
Me. He just told me during the break if it was the Sabres, he would have picked the Sabres.
I offered him the Sabres. RJ, hang on, Joe. Let's put him on hold. RJ, did I not give you the Sabres?
No, the reason I said I would have no faith in the Sabres to win a Game 7. The reason I would pick the Knicks is because I would have a lot more faith in the Islanders to win a Game 7. I would have zero faith in the Sabres to win any meaningful game ever.
So are you backtracking now?
No, I'm explaining my point. It would be the Sabres for a different reason.
But it would be the Sabres. See? It would be the Sabres. Thank you, because that's his team.
But that was what I gave you. I said the Sabres.
You're right.
But
it does seem like a little bit of a backpedal by RJ.
No, but
big backpedal.
No, it's not, because it's the same sport but different teams. Anyways, nobody cares what I think. Go back.
Everyone
go back
cares
to the
what
calls.
You think.
No one cares.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
That's a great point. I have no idea.
In Babylon. Good morning. We're just yelling. Joe, good morning.
Fellas, first time, long time. How's everybody doing today?
Answer him, Dave. This is your baby. Answer.
No, it's not my baby. I told him I don't want to hear this. This is you.
Joe, we're doing great. What's up?
I purposely did that because I know you didn't want to hear it. Rick is 100% right here. I don't know how there's any debate. It's a good point by Chris and Dave. Obviously, it's more likely that the Islanders could win a Game 7 than the Knicks come back from 0-2. But what we're neglecting to bring up and acknowledge is the fact that if the Islanders win this next game, the series is 100%
What do you mean
over.
We're
I
neglecting to bring that up?
No
we brought that up all over the place, Joe.
There's no figuring out the odds. There's no asking other people, what do you think the percentages are? If they win, it is 100% over. So I don't know how it's even a debate, guys. I don't know.
You know what, Joe? You completely disagree with everyone on the show not named Rick DiPietro. Because the four of us would say that the Knicks need to win more than the Islanders do tonight.
No, you just, no, time out. Now you're changing
That's
the
what
question.
We just said.
No, you're changing the question now. I asked you the exact same question with the same parameters with your
don't
favorite team. And you picked
don't incorporate
the, and you
me pick, into this.
No, well, you're one of the guys on the show, right, that initially disagreed with me.
Well,
so now all of a sudden,
I completely disagree with
you've
you.
Changed your tune, and you picked the Giants. RJ just changed his tune, and he picked the Sabres. I'm sure if I asked... If I asked him if it was the Cowboys, he picked the Cowboys.
All right, let's put him on the spot. Santiago, Cowboys, Week 17, win the division with a win, or the Knicks win tonight.
See,
now the Cowboys would have a Week 18 to still win the division.
On the road.
And they always are on the road anyway, so what difference does it make? I'm used to that with the Cowboys. And just to stick to my point, I'll pick the Knicks again.
See?
Oh, you're so
take
foolish.
Integrity.
See?
I like it.
That's right. It's a man that believes in what he's saying.
And not only will I take the integrity just for the integrity, but also because it benefits me on a personal level. The longer the Knicks play, the better it is for me. So,
yeah, here we go.
That's right.
It was all about being honest
with you.
More going into it. All of a sudden, all these caveats, all these addendums to the question. That's fine.
I'm just being honest
so much.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, the callers agree with you. The show disagrees with you. It's a good conversation. It's kind of an even split. Let's go to AJ in Eastchester. Good morning, AJ.
What's going on, guys? All right, so listen, I'm going to start off by saying I'm the biggest Knicks fan you'll ever meet. I'm not even an Islanders fan. And I'm telling you that Rick is 100% right, because you can't put the Islanders in a Game 7 away if they could clinch it tonight. The Knicks have the rest of the series ahead of them.
Oh, yes. My God. But
they would have to win four of the next five, including three on the road. You want to win one road game or you want to win three?
Yeah, but you're putting the Islanders away in a Game 7 if they can clinch tonight.
There's
Which
still
is
a chance
probably almost a 50-50 game if they lose this game tonight.
But you're missing the point. You're right. Do I think the Knicks are going to come back from 0-2 after losing two home games? Probably not. There's a slim chance that happens. You're right. I agree with that. But the reality is, if this was turned the opposite, where it was, would you take the Knicks win tonight in Game 6 at home to close the series, or have the Islanders win to make it 1-1? I would pick the Knicks to close out a series and take my chances in the other series.
So that has nothing to do with your love affair with the Islanders then?
You close the series out when you can close the series out. Even if they win, even if the Knicks win tonight, there's still a chance they could lose the series. If
yeah,
I win
your
tonight,
whole
with the
premise
Islanders,
moments ago was the only reason you would take that side is because you love the Islanders so much. Now it's just a situation.
No, it's both. It's my love for the team and also knowing that playing in a Game 7 on the road is a crapshoot. I don't know what's going to happen. And they're the number one seed.
And you're right. You're right. It's a flip of a coin. But I like that flip of the coin better than I like the Knicks down 0-2 going on the road to Atlanta.
But Dave, even if they win, there's still a chance they lose the series. If the Islanders win tonight, there is no chance they lose the series. I'm eliminating the chance that I lose the series.
Yes. You're right.
That's what I'm doing. I'm taking the one in the hand as opposed to the two in the bush.
Not the first time. All right.
It should be trimmed.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. What was I saying here? Listen. You know what time it is, by the way, Rick? It could be your favorite time.
I hope it's not Stump Rothenberg. I hate this segment.
Then we'll stop doing it. You don't want to do it? We'll stop doing it.
No, let's do it.
I do it because I thought that we enjoyed it as a show. If you don't want to do it and Chris doesn't want to do it, I'm not going to push Stump Rothenberg on you guys.
If I could have my pick of the Knicks win or we cancel Stump Rothenberg, I would. I'd probably pick not canceling Stump Rothenberg. That's how much I love the segment. I love it.
All right. Let's do it.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
There's a sponsor for this segment. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by BetMGM Sports. All right. Let's get rolling here. 800-919-3776. We always start with Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DC. David, I got a basketball question for you.
Ooh.
But before that, I need my guy 99. Canty, you there?
I'm here, Andy.
It's a valid question, though, Andy. It's a valid question.
That was very funny.
On behalf of myself and Delicious D, I want to welcome you to the Islanders party.
Wait. Hang on a second.
Like that kind of party?
Chris, you said that you're not making any rash decisions, and this will be an off-season decision that you make.
I did say that, Dave. We're going to wait until the Stanley Cup playoffs are over before we decide which direction we're going to go, where we're going to sign in free agency.
Yeah, so great attempt there to manipulate Andy, but no, it's not going to work.
Well, I need a room for the big man. Anyway, David, I got an Atlanta Hawks question for you.
Oh, boy.
All right. Everyone knows that French-born Dominique Wilkins is the Hawks' all-time games leader. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me who's number two?
Lead for the Hawks.
Kyle Higashioka.
I'm thinking, Mookie Blaylock was there for a really long time. Up next, Tree Rollins got to be up there. Kevin Willis. Kevin Willis played forever, but Rollins was there, I think, his entire career. I'm going to go with Wayne Tree Rollins.
Way to take a bite out of that one, Dave.
Nice.
Nicely done, Rothenberg.
Nice. Done. That is what we call 1-0. All right, Rick, you're up.
All right, here we go. In his playoff debut, Trae Young went for 32-10, unfortunately for us Knicks fans. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me the only other three players to go for 30-plus points and 10 assists in their first playoff game?
I should know this because they must have said this at some point, but I didn't hear it.
Yep.
You know it, don't you?
Yes, because they said it.
Yeah.
Right after the game.
God.
That's what makes it a good question.
Yeah, it's timely. It's relevant. It is a nice question. Three guys. I don't know. This is going to be a guess.
If I give you the date, would that help?
No, the date doesn't help. I mean, should I go guess LeBron? I really don't know. 30 points, 10 assists. I'm going to... Ay, ay, ay.
Names you know, not
yeah,
like
no,
current.
Obviously, they're going to be names you know.
Well, yeah, but current. Like, this isn't like names that you know from the... Like, these are current...
I'm not going to get this right, but I will say LeBron.
LeBron is one, yep.
Oh, all right. See, Harden wasn't even like a Harden Westbrook, but on the OKC team. I'm going to say Dwayne Wade.
Incorrect.
Yeah. All right, what do you
got? If I give you the year, I know you'll get it.
I don't want the year.
You got another Nick, Derrick Rose.
Oh, wow.
And you got Chris Paul.
Okay. I was thinking about Chris Paul, and then I was thinking about the OKC guys, and I just didn't get it right. Bad job by me. All right, that's 1-1. Let's go to Shep in Bethpage. Good morning, Shep.
Good morning. Who is the only Major League Baseball player caught stealing twice in a 9-inning All-Star game?
Oh, my God. Give me this again. Only Major League player caught stealing twice in a
9-inning All-Star game.
So somebody's been caught stealing more than twice or more in an extra innings All-Star game, but in a 9-inning affair.
Right.
Oh, God. This is a brutal question. I don't know. I will guess. I don't know. I think Kevin Kiermaier was caught multiple times, but I don't know if it was a 9. I'll guess Kevin Kiermaier, but I don't think that's right.
Nope. Sorry. It's Bam the Man Musial in 1951.
Wow. All right. These are some questions.
That's a rough
today.
Question.
These are some That's questions rough. We have today. Let's continue along. Let's go to Danny, Long Island. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, gang. Dave, you're right on the debate of the day, by the way. I own the team that went to the cup final, the conference final.
Yeah.
It has already beaten Pittsburgh 3 times, has a better chance of winning a game 7 on the road than the Knicks if they were down 2-0. And then have to go on the road. So no chance. The Islanders definitely have a better chance to win that game. And if it all falls into play, just check the odds, and that'll give you the answer to the question.
Well, it's just
my question for you today is, can you name both ends of the only combined no-hitter the Yankees have ever thrown? I need the pitcher that started it and the pitcher that finished it.
So Yankees threw one combined no-hitter.
That's correct.
Oh, God. Well, it's not Rigetti. Not Larson. Oh, God.
And that's a good question.
That's not a bad question. For the Yankees. I don't know that I know this one either. A combined no hitter for the Yankees.
I mean, Allie Reynolds, tough day for you.
Yeah, no, I know. Allie Reynolds threw a couple. Abbott threw. But combined, I don't know. I'm not going to know it. I'm going to guess Allie Reynolds, but I don't even know who the other guy would be, so I'm going to take the L on this one.
That is incorrect. On June 23rd, 1917.
Gave the year.
It's like you ran out of his calling card. It's like, all right, you're done. You have no more time.
If I give you the year, I know you'll get it.
I don't want the year. Can we get the answer on that, though? And by the way, we're going back to 1917. All right. I see how we're going here. Let's go to Rick. In these questions today, really, you guys are doing a terrible job. Rick in Sunnyside. Rick, good morning.
Hey, Dave, how are you? Listen, I'm hoping for a Rothenberg DiPietro steel cage match.
I don't think I'd fare very well.
Yeah, I don't think that'd end well for Dave.
No.
You might do better than you think. Who knows? But here's the question. The first player to hit 40 or more home runs in each league.
Is it Frank Robinson? Frank Robinson's the first name that jumped. Could be. Could be Darrell Evans also is another name. I think it's either Robinson or Darrell Evans. I'm going to say Darrell Evans. Final answer.
Yes, Dave. Good job. 1973 with the Braves and 1985 with the Tigers.
All right. So there you have it. That was a good job by me.
Retribution. Here we go.
Very good job.
Do we take one more?
Why don't we take one more?
Baseball questions today. All right, let's go with Howard in Virginia. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Rick, how we doing?
See, now why are you putting it on me? We're doing great.
Because this is what you said. You said, I will handle the how you doing.
No, but you canceled that, though. Then you canceled it.
Well, I don't like the how you
doing. You're giving me mixed signals.
Howard, go ahead.
Okay, there have been four members of the prestigious 40-40 club in Major League Baseball. Who are they, and can you name them in order? And I have a hint, if you need one, Dave, show them your greatness.
40-40 club in baseball. All right, so I believe...
40 home runs, 40 stolen bases.
Canseco did it? And yes. He was... I think he was the first.
Yes.
Bonds, I know, did it. And by the
you
way, can I just say something, Rick? We've always said these are single-part questions. Now I have a four-part question that has to be answered chronologically also.
I don't know
Dave,
if it's a four-part.
Showing your greatness.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's a four-part question.
Well, it is a four-part question.
Well,
there's four answers.
But it's a question that has four players in it.
Alex Rodriguez.
Boom.
And former Yankee, Alfonso Soriano.
Wow.
That all right.
Nice and done, Dave.
Oh, God, I felt good. Yeah.
I think I'm more than rebounded there in that edition. Of Stump Rothenberg.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.